This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
How can I work? How can I get paid? How can I take care of my kids?
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mike, did you watch any of the Eli press conference today as he said goodbye to New York Giants fans?
Yeah, it was kind of cool. He was got emotional at times, talked about how he was always going to kind of do it his way, and then maybe he wasn't the rah-rah guy that some teams are looking for. You talked about it the other day, saying when Eli got there, Michael Strahan, that team already had leaders on it, so he just had to kind of deliver the football. So he talked about, you know, kind of growing into that position and, it's funny, one of the reporters asked him, says, hey, here you are, you know, your number's going to be retired, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame. And he goes, what do you think about, Jeter, and his legacy, you know, two guys in New York. And he goes, yeah, interesting, because I'm trying to figure out which one of you guys didn't vote for him.
Good for Eli. So,
yeah, it was kind of cool. It's online. You go to the Giants website and check it out. But, man, look, we said this yesterday. It's not a knock on Peyton. It's just him and his brother are wired differently. You and your siblings are – my brother couldn't
– much
my,
so.
My brother sounds like Batman.
That's right.
You know, so it's different type of style.
Yeah.
Peyton, I think, in New York City would have really struggled at times with the heat. Eli's a guy that it just always rolled off his back like a duck and was actually probably well-suited for it. He never had a problem going to Ole Miss. Peyton wanted to go do his own thing and went to Tennessee. You know, he's a different kind of guy. At the end of the day, he's got two Super Bowl rings. He had two amazing runs. Yes, the bad years were bad, but the legacy's complete.
It is. And by the way, I said this the other day when we were talking about, you know, is he a Hall of Famer or not? The public perception goes a long way. Everybody likes Eli. Everybody likes Eli. You go across football circles, there's not anybody that you're going to run across that goes, oh, man. So that helps his situation, but he performed and put up the numbers that are going to get him in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Hey, one other thing we do want to mention, we are live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. I invite you guys to come out. It is Dukes and Bell. You can always access this radio show, guys, at radio.com. Listen that way no matter where you are in the world, and you can use that rewind feature and check out all of our segments as well. I just saw this from, I think this is Paul Sullivan, who covers baseball, Mike. Apparently, Keuchel is speaking. And we know Dallas Keuchel because he was here with our Braves.
Yeah, he was underwhelming for us for half a season.
Yeah, but prior to that, and Paul Sullivan is with the Chicago Tribune as a sports writer. But prior to that, obviously, he was with the Astros. He is the first Astro on that 2017 team to apologize.
Hey, how about that?
So Keuchel comes out for the Astros sign-stealing scandal and says, quote, it's not like every game we had it going on. That is a terrible quote.
I only cheated on my wife with days that ended in a Y.
That is all. No matter what
you know what
you
I mean?
Say,
it's like, come on, man.
It's not going to help. It's not going to help the situation.
You can't rationalize it. You know, we had Jessica Mendoza on an ESPN radio interview basically saying, oh, it's a shame that somebody ratted out. I mean, do we want this to go on and on? Major League Baseball told everybody. They knew about four teams were monkeying around with the video, and they said, stop it. Astros kept doing it. Dodgers got the biggest beef of anybody. When you lose two out of three at the Astros Park, one of those games, Carl, a one-run game that was 13-12. I mean, I don't know if Rob Manfred wants to go down that road. Baseball, usually you let it stay the way it is. But some people would say, you know, the way the NCAA handled USC with Reggie Bush, that national championship doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, that championship is vacated, that maybe baseball should do likewise.
Yeah, I just – when I saw that, I'm just like, bro, don't say anything. I mean, it doesn't help the situation. And that, to me, makes it even worse. It's almost like, well, yeah, we cheated, but we didn't do it every day.
Yeah, exactly.
We were cheating, but, I mean, come on.
I mean, and at least with baseball, we said this, at least you know what was going on. The Manfred Report explains what happened. You know, with the Patriots, we still don't ever get to see the evidence. That's always going to irk me. The Roger Goodell and the NFL Stooges destroyed the evidence in that situation. Hey, one last baseball nugget before we get to our dog report. We'll talk about what's going down with the Senior Bowl as well. But our buddy Dave O'Brien from The Athletic tweeted this about 10 minutes ago. We had Alex Anthopoulos on, of course, earlier in the week, just kind of confirming what Alex told us. that the Braves, more news coming out, that, yeah, they were cool with 4 years for Josh Donaldson. There was never going to be a problem for the fourth, but there was no way they were going to do that fifth year with an $8 million option they'd have to eat. So it was four. And I got to be honest, for Braves fans, 4 years for Josh, knowing how older he was going to be at the end of that contract, that's pretty fair. And I'm never a company man, but I got to have the Braves back on this one.
39 when this deal is done, and at 39, whether he is great or not, he's getting $8 million. If he's halfway decent, Mike, and plays, he's getting 16.
Mm-hmm.
Braves couldn't do it. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's talk dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBox Electrical, man. Go to BrightBoxElectrical.com. Still time to get that man cave here. If you want to have a place like Twin Peaks where you got multiple TVs, Twin Peaks girls sold separately. You, Carl, you go to BrightBoxElectrical.com and you take advantage of the great deals right now for home theater and a whole lot more.
All right, you talked about the Senior Bowl. Obviously, the dog's going to have a bunch of guys in this year's NFL draft.
Underclassmen, though.
That's right, once again. As far as the Senior Bowl, and I want to ask you this. You surprised that Jalen Hurts is going to play in the Senior Bowl?
I don't know. I mean, I think NFL people want to see him under center, you know, and you want to prove you can do that because that's something. Remember nowadays in college football, everyone's looking at the sideline, and I got Bugs Bunny. I got Beyonce, and I've got a Hershey's Kiss. Okay, and those are my play call. So they want you under center. They want you in the huddle and all that stuff. So I think the agent probably says, go demonstrate you can be the NFL-style quarterback, which is part of it.
No,
I know.
It
sounds silly and nuanced, but we've talked about this with other guys. Some guys don't know how to make a huddle and break a huddle. You know, some guys literally don't know how to break a huddle
because
they never did that in college. So, well, I mean, and to have the language of the playbook and be able to get that language out and let everybody from the offensive lineman to your wide receiver understand what the play is.
Remember that conversation last year with Kyler Murray? The problem, or should I say the solution for Kyler Murray, is he went from that offense to a similar offense in the NFL. I mean, in essence, they're running a very similar kind of offense he ran at Oklahoma. He's not under center a lot, if at all, to be honest with you. I don't remember him, Bo, being under center that much when we played him this season out there when the Falcons played him. Here's the point. That's always been something that scouts talk about. We want to see him under center.
Right.
But we also are seeing a lot more teams, you know, do spread-type offenses in the NFL and even RPOs, like with the Ravens. What they're doing, you know, Lamar Jackson, is he really under center, you know, 50% of the game? He's not.
Right. So you got to tailor it to what you're going to do, but the pro-style offense is still in vogue. So as we said, man, these are things that guys do the Senior Bowl. Their agents encourage them to do it so you can show that skill set. You want to hear the crazy rumor today?
Yes, please.
All right, let's file this into the first piece of total BS involving the NFL draft. This comes from Alex Marvez. Chris Mortensen liked it as well. Hold on. Don't write in Joe Burrow as the first pick of the NFL draft quite yet. There's another choice, Justin Herbert, who's in the mix, along with Chase Young.
Stop.
Pretty solid source.
Stop. Now, here's the deal.
No way in hell.
I don't disagree that there are going to be teams that like what this young man is. Mike, he's 6'5". We talk about a cannon for an arm. He's got all the things that you like as an NFL quarterback. But this gets back to the same thing we talked about a few years ago when you're drafting a quarterback and when the lights were the brightest. Nobody played better than Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow is the slam dunk, and if you've seen some of the comments, needless to say, a lot of writers and a lot of people like us on talk radio go, oh, Joe Burrow in Miami, wouldn't that be something? Because we all look at Cincinnati as the armpit that it is. I'm sorry, from Southern Ohio, it is what it is. But the guy is from Ohio. His dad coached high school in Athens after retiring from Canadian football. He was at Ohio State. He was Mr. Football at Ohio. So he's his mom and the dad, everyone's saying, look, we're not going to pull an Eli Manning, or if you really want to take it further back, what John Elway did. Both John Elway and Eli Manning were going to be drafted by awful teams with terrible owners. The Ursays with the Baltimore Colts.
That's right.
And the Spanos with the Chargers. And Archie Manning, spending time in the NFL, knew this is a bad organization. From what you're going to deal with, they're going to lowball us. You're never going to make the most dollars. So that's why they were able to get the trade with the Giants. It all worked out. But in this case, you could argue the Bengals are worse than all of those franchises put together as far as how they're mismanaged, how cheaply they're run, how you've got an 82-year-old Mike Brown still calling the shots.
It's a problem.
But his family says, no way, we are not going to be pulling that kind of stuff.
I'll believe it when I see it. I don't think anything's off the table. I know that the information is out there, and we've seen multiple reports about the fact that they're not going to do that. But, Mike, when you start talking about your future And I've always said this. You know, there have been great players that have made it to the NFL but have been horrible players because they went to a bad place.
Right.
It's still all about going somewhere you can be coached up. You've got people around you that are going to nurture your ability. If you don't, you're going to get caught up, Mike. And Joe Burrow is no different. He's talented, but no talented more talented than anybody else. 4 years from now, if things go south,
right,
we could be talking about, well, what happened to Joe Burrow? Well, he went to a terrible organization.
But here's the thing. I mean, Joe Burrow's family says they'd never do that. But think about this. If a team, and we were talking about this Bo Morgan off the air the other day, if the Dolphins, we know what the remedy is. You know what the formula is, I should say. You're going to be basically doing the same thing the Giants did if you're coming from the top five. You're going to give up a big chunk of picks this year. You're going to give up the first and second the following year. And is Paul Brown, or I should say Mike Brown, Paul Brown's son who runs the Bengals, saying, you know what? I could get a comparable quarterback in this draft because I got two or three with Herbert and maybe somebody else and load up for the future as well.
Yeah.
That's the only logic behind why you do that. They may march on the Bengals stadium down there, man.
All right. That is, again, the first bullcrap rumor of the NFL draft.
Now, let's get to some facts. Guys are getting paid that wear headsets. Not head coaches, but assistants. And some head coaches, too.
Auburn's D.C., Kevin Steele. By the way, he's done a really good job. Auburn, you know, again, they maneuvered one of the toughest schedules. I think outside of LSU, obviously, last year, they may have had the second toughest schedule. But Kevin Steele becomes the nation's highest paid assistant, Mike. Wednesday night, Auburn announced the defensive coordinator is going to get a new 3-year deal that's going to pay him, wait for it, $2.5 million annually. He earned $1.9 million in the last season. So here's a guy that, again, is highly regarded. I think he's done a great job not only in recruiting but in running that defense, and Gus Malzahn values him. You know, Gus has even said that as far as his staffers, he was the one guy that, you know, he says, I really didn't want to lose Kevin. Well, you're not going in. You have to lose him now because he's going to be there through the 2022 season, at least right now, Mike, new 3-year deal.
Yep, and we talked about it, guys. I guess what Venables now, so same level as Venables.
2.5.
Yeah, 2.5 for Venables, so he's right in that same neighborhood.
Yes.
And, of course, Coach O got his deal.
Coach O, new deal that's going to pay him $42 million and take him through 2026. The problem I have, and it's not with Coach O, Mike and I were having this conversation. College sports, especially football, has kind of made a shift. You remember when guys were winning 5, 6, 7 games and then ADs were paying them?
Yeah, called Notre Dame.
Yeah. They hadn't won anything yet. I have no issues with Coach O or anybody that wins a championship getting their loot and getting these extensions. The problem was you had schools getting tied up and paying guys before they had delivered the championship, and then all of a sudden they're caught with their pants down and they're paying 4 or 5 guys to
right.
try to get out of these contracts.
Now, obviously, you've got to try to replicate the success. You got the you know, that generational quarterback in Mullen. You open things up. You are open-minded enough to bring in Brady from the Patriots. He's gone, but the offense is going to remain the same. The same guy's calling the plays. We've talked about that with Emsminger. But Ed Ogeron's making less than Dan Mullen on this new extension. Dan Mullen's making an extra $100,000. But let me throw some names at you, Carl. Obviously, Saban, the gold standard, 8.9. Jimbo at 7.5. Texas A&M backed up the Brinks truck.
Yeah.
Gus Malzahn with a natty, making 6.8. Just mentioned Dan Mullen. And then Coach O. Of those top six, two have not yet put the cherry on top of the sundae.
I know.
And Dan Mullen has been part of a championship as an OC.
But not as a head coach.
Right. And, of course, Kirby yet to do it with the Dogs.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes, Mike, if you feel like you got the right guy, this is the other side of this. Even if they haven't won the natty, you feel like you got the right guy, you got to tie him up because we know schools come poaching, and you don't want that, so you lock him up.
If you missed D-Led from the Senior Bowl, we'll play some cuts from dear Orlando Ledbetter later. But the big news, Javon Kinlaw, defensive tackle, looking good. D said for Falcon fans, at least as far as seniors, not exactly anybody lighting anyone's lamp as far as defensive end. There are a lot of skill position players. Some DBs certainly is underclassmen and seniors. But if you're looking for defensive end help, nobody really blowing doors. And, of course, quarterbacks. We mentioned earlier to start the conversation that Jalen Hurts was there to show what he could do.
Hear what D. Orlando Ledbetter had to say. We'll let you hear a little bit of that conversation coming up as part of our Falcon Report at 5 o'clock. It's Dukes and Bell. Guys, let's give you a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
get in gear, Mike. Get in gear.
Get in gear, will you, pal? Gear goes to 72881. Hey, Coach. Coach, by the way, we have one of our loyal listeners. Man, he's getting the love today. Hey, Denzel, type in gear to your phone if you want to win a grand. It goes to 72881. And, again, it's between now and the hour of 5. Your last chance today to win $1,000 gear to Texas 72881.
Hey, man, we got a lot more to get to coming up this hour in less than 20 minutes. Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO, joins us. Mike and I have an issue with what's going on in the NBA, but we'll also talk to him about Trae Young and the announcement that Trae is an all-star starter. What's it mean for our franchise? We'll talk about that coming up. Listen to us on radio.com, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. We're out here at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Hope you're having a great Friday heading to the weekend. You can come on out here and have a Hey Man L and enjoy an ice cold Hey Man L on draft. It is our beer, man. And if you don't get a chance today to try it, you got all weekend. Saturday, Mike and I are going to be out at our big paper football event at Sandy Springs, the Stars and Strikes there, and all the personalities will be out there, guys. Invite you guys to come out. We're going to have a great time tomorrow starting around 6 o'clock all the way through 11. Somebody's walking away with $1,000, the big championship belt. And the winner, by the way, is coming on our show.
I was going to say, I hope the dude has some personality or lady who takes home the big grand prize. So come on down. We've got other prizes. Other guys can get a chance to interact with the other shows. So we always appreciate it. We've got the best listeners in town. Like some of our usual suspects hanging out here at Twin Peaks today. We'll see you tomorrow at Stars and Strikes in Sandy Springs.
All right, let's talk some NFL real quick, guys. Coming up, Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO, will make his weekly visit to the program. We will talk to him about Trae being named a starter, but there's also some other things going on in and around the NBA that we need to talk to Steve about. That's on the way in less than 10 minutes. Tom Brady, you know, all the speculation has already started about where he may end up. And, Mike, our Super Bowl coverage really amps up next week as we'll start talking to more guests and guys headed down to Miami. And you guys know, being in Atlanta last year, the Super Bowl was a huge hit. I think Miami's going to do a great job with it. But we'll be talking more about the game itself and getting some more perspectives next week. But the Brady conversation is still out there, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon. Does he stay in New England, or do you think that he leaves? And everybody's trying to say, well, you know what? All these signs have shown us that Brady's probably not leaving, but then other people think of the opposite. They say, well, dude moved, his trainer moved, he's selling his house. Well, why wouldn't you think that he wants to go play somewhere else?
Well, you know, I asked John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, longtime NFL writer, and I said, you know, Reggie White did his tour. Granted, he was much younger. This might be just one last go-around, 1 year for Brady. But I just thought because Brady, and I know they downplay, but he's got an ego like anybody else, and he's shaved some money and he's moved some money around. Robert Kraft's on record as saying part of the reason the way the Patriots get to do things they do is a quarterback takes less, Carl, than full market value. So if you're Brady, wouldn't you like to have the Kiss My Butt tour? Go bounce around the NFL? I am now in your town. Kiss my butt, and maybe I will come play for you for $35 million for 1 year. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I say you don't say no to the job you haven't been offered. John McClain thinks he, after all the rigmarole, he's going to wind up right back in New England, and he's going to make them pay through the nose. Or do you think maybe because he's sold the house and all these other things, which don't mean anything unless you want to add them up and turn it into something, mean that Tommy's going to be someplace else?
Yeah, and you know, Mike, we
like Philip Rivers buying a house in Florida. Yeah. Everyone now thinks he's going to go play for the Bucs for 1 year.
Everybody knows this. I mean, listen, if you have wealth, you live wherever you want. I mean, you know, Giselle, they've got like a house in Cali. They got a place overseas. I don't know if that matters in this day and age with the money we're talking about.
I mean, Terry Fox, our boss, he's got a luxury condo down in South Beach. Terry spends a lot of time there. We don't get to see him in the office every day. But, I mean, again, you got the coin. You can live in multiple places. You do it.
It doesn't matter. So I don't know if I'm too caught up in that. And when guys, I hear guys selling houses, we get this all the time on the show, right? Somebody will text me or something. Hey, such and such's house is up for sale. Okay, you know, maybe they're buying a new house. Who knows? But I do know this. I want you to hear Drew Bledsoe. Now, you guys know the story behind Bledsoe and Tom Brady, right?
First off, Mo Lewis basically nearly takes out his spleen on the sideline back in 2001. They were in first place, but it was Bledsoe who gets knocked out of the game, and that's how Tom Brady's career begins.
So here's Bledsoe talking about Brady and the perception of Brady. This is when he was the guy, and other people are looking at Brady, well, he's just a backup.
Here's the real truth. So when he was on practice squad his rookie year, I actually called my financial advisor about him. I was like, hey, you know, I really like this kid. He's never going to be a starter. He's going to be Jason Garrett or you know, one of those guys that's just going to be around forever, and you'll really like the kid. And we really did. We kind of brought him in, and he was over at our house. We had him over for dinner probably at least every other week. But just really liked the kid. I thought he was just... and still do. But nobody outside of maybe Tom himself would ever have predicted that he was going to go on to be a starter in the league. And and, you know, be in the conversation as one of the greatest of all time.
Isn't that great?
Crazy.
Because some people always – it's interesting. Some people, like the media, tried to turn that thing into a controversy that somehow Bledsoe resented Tom Brady. Here you go. In a million years, I never thought he'd be the guy. And much like what happened with Kaepernick, and again, Bledsoe, of course, he was done. He was done with that injury. But in the case of, like, Harbaugh years later, he had a decision to make. In this case, Bledsoe was banged up. It's Tom Brady's team. And he takes them all the way to the Super Bowl, and the rest is history.
So Garoppolo was in New England under Tom Brady.
Now, that's a different story. Tommy didn't like the fact that Garoppolo got drafted as high as he did and the fact that people started to talk about, hey, here's the heir apparent. And the rumors were, and some more than rumors, some were substantiated in a Boston Globe article.
That's right.
That Tommy goes to Robert Kraft and say, hey, I don't like this. You got to get rid of this guy. And then he makes Belichick get rid of him.
and he did. Garoppolo, by the way, was asked about what he learned under Tom Brady while he was there in New England.
I think just how calm he was, how, you know, and everyone says that you got treated like another game, but just the way that he actually did it, I mean, I was right, you know, up close and personal, just picking up everything I could, seeing how he went about his business and everything, and, you know, obviously it worked out the two times that I was there with him, and so try to transfer that over to my game.
And you know what, Mike, we say this, you know, when somebody comes in to take your job, you're not training them. Okay.
Yeah, see Chris Chandler with Mike Vick or Chris Chandler with Steve McNair or anywhere else Chris Chandler was in his NFL career.
You're not training him. So you're right. The attitude towards Garoppolo was different, but, you know, Garoppolo's doing his own thing now. And now this is his moment, right? He has a chance to win a Super Bowl independent of whatever people thought he might be in New England. And by the way, 49ers win this trade. You know, the 49ers, you look back at what New England got for Garoppolo and at the end of the day, 49ers win this trade, and this is exactly why they went out and made the deal. I think everybody wondered, was he worth the money at the time, because they really paid him for being a – he hadn't really started in the NFL, you know, when you look at the numbers.
Right.
But it's panned out now, and I think everybody, you know, especially Kyle Shanahan's laughing all the way to the bank saying, I told you guys, I knew this kid could play.
And as we say, guys, the narrative this week of this one that's coming out, because next week the rubber hits the road. They get down there Sunday, media day on Monday, but that, hey, you know what, the 49ers can't get into a shooting match with Mahomes and the Chiefs, but everybody keeps coming back to counter that argument with, look, Garoppolo's top five at all the important quarterback statistics. So he has had moments where he's had to put the team on his back. It's not all been about running, but they've just found in the more recent games you've been paying more attention to the 49ers. They're able to run the football. Now, how the Falcons beat him is still a damn mystery to me, Carl, but certainly when we got the job done out there at Levi's Stadium, you know, are the Chiefs going to look at that and say, we had better guys than the Falcons. There's got to be a way we can put this together. You know, I mean, just like the way everyone was looking at Tennessee's game plan and how they beat the Chiefs.
Yeah, look, everything is on the table as far as how to manipulate what San Francisco does and how to take advantage of it. You know, here's the interesting thing. When we go out to San Francisco, and remember, I think we were huge underdogs in that game. I don't remember what the spread was, but, you know, Vegas was like, oh, we're going to get killed. Okay, yeah, it was a double-digit deal.
Right.
And the way that this team responded and played, it was more about the game planning, to your point. You know, it's not like we changed players overnight. The same team that had been losing on that losing streak went out to San Francisco, which gave us little or no hope. But I do think that if you look at some of the things we did defensively, I do think they can do those things to the 49ers. And I think they can do it better than we did because, Mike, they've got a better pass rush than we do. So that's the other part of it. And I'm really curious to see if they make Garoppolo uncomfortable. We keep talking about Pat Mahomes and his escapability and all that. Garoppolo's really a pocket guy. He will run occasionally, but I want to see him uncomfortable. And the Chiefs, I think, want to do that.
I mean, Seattle tried to do it. They were successful in one game where you say, you know, hey, we're going to take away the run. But they've been so physical. And, you know, their version of the zone blocking scheme and the way they're executing it. You see former Falcons like, you know, Ben Garland. We've talked about Mike Person. That was the guy we had to actually go get Alex Mack because Person couldn't handle the responsibility. And now they look like, you know, like we did in 2016, the way these guys are coming off the ball. But you're right. I think teams would look at the Seattle game plan and say, I'm going to make Garoppolo beat me. We're going to hear that like 2,000 times next week.
Yeah, no doubt. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Coming up, we're going to talk to Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO, here on the program. Trae Young is a starter for the Eastern Conference. It's official. We'll talk to Steve about that and more. You can always listen to us on radio.com.
Or come see us at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw, guys. Our ice-cold Hey Man Ale is waiting for you, as are the ladies. We'll talk to Steve next.
We do it each and every week. We have a chance to visit with Steve Koonin, the Hawks CEO, here on Dukes and Bell. And Steve, first and foremost, pretty cool for our city and certainly the organization to have Trae Young as an all-star starter.
Yeah. Hello, guys. I personally couldn't be happier. organization couldn't be happier. One of the goals when we went into this rebuild, is to, bring stars to Atlanta. And it's really nice to have homegrown an East point guard starter for the All-Star game. And Trey is over the moon, and it was great how it happened that he's in Oklahoma City for the game tonight. And got the news in front of his family, which was just wonderful if you haven't seen that on social media.
That really was, Steve. Again, we've played the interview. We're going to hear it again for guys that are just getting in your cars. Our exclusive conversation from Andy and Randy's show with Trey Young coming up at 5:20. He checks all the boxes, Steve. He's a guy you want to see. He's appointment TV. What else rhymes with that? And he's really groovy. No, he's a great guy. We just got to get more pieces around him, brother.
Well, that's the whole plan. You know, if I would have said to you 2 years ago, and if you recall, Mike, you wanted to spin the wheel to pick draft, to have fans come out and play, and several of your ideas were excellent. Some of them weren't. I just highlight one, that as one of the better ideas. And if I said to you that we'd be in our, second 2.5 seasons into a rebuild, we have the starting point guard for the Eastern Conference, we have more cap room than any team in the NBA, we have 2 first-round draft picks coming up, and we had 2 lottery picks this past season, you would say progress is being made. And so while the record's not where we want it to be, progress is being made. And to me, this was one of the mileposts along the way to see that Trey is an all-star starting guard. And I think he's going to light up that game.
I do, too. I was joking. I was like, Trey could have 25 assists in an all-star game like this. You know, he's averaging, by the way, 29-9, third in the league in scoring, for those who are wondering. And 9 assists a game, just, 14 double-doubles on the season. It's just an amazing season, and he's only in his second year. Steve, as we talk about, this team and what he may do in the all-star game, let's talk about what happened the other night. And I want to preference this as we talk about this. It's not a Hawks issue, but I think it is an NBA issue. And Mike and I had this discussion on the air the other day that I know the Clippers came to town and Kawhi, I think, was out.
Right.
Paul George has been injured.
Beverly was out in that one, yeah.
Yeah, Patrick Beverly had injured himself, I think, the night before. And there's nothing you can do about those things. But it had us talking about the fact that how does the NBA solve this? And one of the solutions we threw out, and I want to get your opinion on it, is that if you want to sit guys, you got to do it at home. You can't do it on the road in the NBA because we only get LeBron once. We only get the Clippers once. Do you think that's a possible solution?
Yeah, but there's always an escape hatch for the teams. First of all, this is the first time we've dealt with load management. Now I know what the load part stands for. Because they could fill out an injury report and say, you're hurt knee. Go prove otherwise. Unfortunately, I think that was a basis of negotiation for Kawhi going to the Clippers, is that he wouldn't play the second night of back-to-backs. And I don't think it's fair to the fans. And it was not – the game turned out to be fantastic and a lot of fun to watch.
It was.
It's not what people signed up for. And candidly, it just was infuriating, and it really, can we say, pissed us off?
You can.
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Well, Steve, we've talked about it before. Steve Kuhnenguy is the CEO of your Atlanta Hawks, joins us here. We're live at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. And Steve, you only get one shot to see, the Eastern Stars and vice versa. Now the trade becomes an attraction. Trey is the attraction, Carl. People want to see Trey out in L.A. or they want to see him in San Fran, et cetera.
Yeah, we don't do it. Let's be clear. LeBron James said a week after playing here, he said, as long as I can play the game, I know fans pay to come see me, to see me play, and I will play. And if you look at LeBron, he's played 78 games a year unless he is physically injured. So I think the problem is down to one or two guys, but I think it's a little overblown. But it isn't right. And hopefully, it should be on the road. It shouldn't be on national TV games. And I hope it doesn't spread. It doesn't seem to. But because Kawhi was who he was and the impact he had, it has garnered a lot of news.
And that's the thing, Steve. That's a great stat about LeBron. We were talking about Michael Jordan. 8 years he played all 82 games. And in 1 year he missed one game. 1 year he missed two. And I would imagine that Coach Silver is in tune with all of this.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's not our best product. And we don't take our fans for granted. When Trey misses a game because of an injury, trust me, he's injured because nobody wants to play more than him. But for other players, this is a strategy. But I really think we might be able to count them on two fingers.
Steve Coonan, Hawk CEO, joining us. Falcon Report is on the way, guys, on this Friday afternoon live here at Twin Peaks on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Today, literally as we speak, there's a game going on in Paris. And I'm curious to know, is this the future for the NBA? Milwaukee's taking it on Charlotte, I believe. It's the Paris game. Is this something we're going to see more of in the NBA, in your opinion?
Absolutely. And I want the Hawks to participate in this. I think going global and, taking our young guys on the road for something like this is something that has keen interest for us. The NBA has historically, and this year was very historic with the preseason trips to China and all that came from that. But in-season games have been in London. This is the first time in Paris, and Charlotte and Milwaukee are there, and they're having a great time and exposing the world's best players to some of the big countries in the world, and it's something that, I hope is in our not-too-distant future.
So, Carl, it is our man, Steve Coonan, hanging out with us here.
You want to do a remote when we go, on one of our road trips.
Yes.
Yeah, you already know. Yes.
And by the way, it's our 92.9 The Game night coming up next Thursday night. I believe it's the Sixers, and we'll be there doing the show. Carl and I will be live, so Steve, come on by and do your thing Thursday and Friday, and then we'll have all the guys out there with T-shirt giveaways and all sorts of cool promos coming up next Thursday.
I would love to. Thanks for the invitation, Michael.
Excellent.
It's going to be a good time.
And we can break down the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that is correct. Speaking of the Super Bowl, the biggest sporting event in the world happens next week in Miami. It happened here last year. I thought we did an excellent job of putting it on. Mike and I were saying, I'm sure Miami's going to do the same, but are you leaning one way or the other right now? Because I'm sure this will change between now and next time we talk to you.
This is a very tight game, and you kind of look at some of the old sayings, great defense beats great offense. We're going to find out. Obviously, San Francisco front four is a handful, but my goodness, Patrick Mahomes looks like something I've never seen before.
He is incredible. Steve, thank you so much. Again, congratulations to the organization. I've said this, I feel like we're moving in the right direction. Trey is the building block we need, but we need other pieces, and that'll happen over time. But right now, let's just enjoy what's going on with Trey Young.
Celebrate, Atlanta. We got an all-star starter.
No doubt. That is Steve Coonan, guys, Hawks CEO.
And, we were joking around about this off the air. Think about some of the all-stars we've had. Now, nothing against Paul Millsap, but Paul's one of those guys who are like, Joe Johnson could be in an all-star game where everybody scores and it's like 300-point over-under and not have a bucket. Now you got a guy who's out there as the man.
That's right.
With your Eastern team, which is really cool. As we said, you got to go all the way back to Dekember. All the way back in, 2002, right? Last time we had a starter in this?
1998.
Okay.
1998, first Hawk starter. All right, guys, we've got the Falcon Report on the way. We had a chance to talk to D. Orlando Ledbetter. He's covering the Senior Bowl. You will hear what he says about the Falcons rebuilding the offensive and defensive lines and what some of the prospects look like down there in Mobile. It's on the way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.